Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
Hiking to see majestic waterfalls is one of the many perks of living in the Northwest, but with certain areas recovering from wildfires and our winter and spring still in transition, not all are as safe to visit as you might expect. And yet some things that sound risky, like walking off trail to find secret falls, are actually more doable than you might think. So today on CityCast Portland, Norther Emily, owner of Wild Solitude Guiding and our adventuring expert, is here to talk about all things waterfalls. Which make for the best hikes? When is it okay to go past a designated trail? And when should you keep an eye out for landslides? It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. Okay, Norther, when we were prepping for this interview, we were like, well, for sure, she's going to talk about Multnomah Falls. But I heard that you're actually anti-Multnomah Falls, and you're claiming it almost killed you. Is that true?
I don't want to say that I'm anti-Multnomah Falls, but here's the thing. Areas that have burned really badly, like the gorge did, are super dangerous at the 5 to 8 year mark, like post-fire. And I have almost been hit by a rock on more than one occasion hiking near Multnomah Falls, like on the 400 trail, like between Multnomah and Wakena. And also going east of Multnomah Falls, there is a terrifying landslide that took place down there. And you can see like where this huge rock fell from like 1,000 feet and slammed into this tree and like gashed the tree. And then the rock broke into a bunch of pieces. And like, I don't want that for myself.
Yeah. What about the public facing Multnomah Falls? Is that area, are you thinking that is not ready?
You're probably out of the fall zone, you know, on the paved path, I would say.
And you actually have talked about how burn zones, you know, you shouldn't go to, because even though they might be beautiful to look at sometimes, that they're pretty dangerous to get to and all that. But what are other seemingly not dangerous waterfall spots that people should maybe avoid or be extra careful around?
Yeah, anything downhill from a burn. Having situational awareness is really important. Like, is there a lot of rock scattered across the trail that looks like it fell recently? Like, when you look mm-hmm. up, do you see an obvious hazard where, like, part of the cliff is crumbling away? Also, always good to be looking for, like, hazard trees and stuff like that. Just paying attention to your surroundings and, like, looking up. It's always a good idea.
You know, it's so funny. When I go hiking, I rarely look up unless someone's like, look, a hawk or something.
Yeah.
And that is actually a really good, that's something good to think about.
I have a whole class about that.
It's just called look up.
You have to like relearn environmental awareness because it's not required of us in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah. I feel like I'm constantly looking down to make sure I don't trip. And that's where my attention is.
Also important.
And also looking for mushrooms, I'll be honest. I've gotten into mushroom hunting, and so I'm always just like looking at the floor, which is probably why mushroom hunters are the ones who get lost the most.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God, all the pieces, it's coming together.
All kinds of hunters get lost.
Oh, that does make sense, yeah. Okay, well, tell me some of the greatest Pacific Northwest waterfall hits. Like, if you were to suggest 3 waterfall hikes for people to do this spring, which ones would you pick?
You know, Silver Falls is a forever classic.
Of course.
It's very busy. I think I read somewhere that it's like the most popular state park in Oregon. I would believe that for sure. There's a lot of trails in the park, besides the, you know, Trail of 10 waterfalls that everybody's been to, you can definitely strategize on the timing of doing that hike and also like your entry point to that hike if you want to avoid most of the crowds. Mm-hmm. The Lewis River is also a really good example in Southwest Washington. The Lewis River requires a permit part of the year. Every time I've had to buy one, though, they were all available. I think it's $2 or something.
Oh my God. Part of me is like, oh guys, come on. We could pay $5. Like, that's pretty sad. $2. You know, it's just going back to conservancy. Oh, $2. Come on guys.
And then maybe, I don't want to lock us out of the gorge completely. Starvation Falls in the eastern part of the Columbia River Gorge would be a great option if you want to do some fun gorge stuff. That area didn't burn.
Okay. Two things. One, John wants us to know that Lewis River reservations are required June 15th through September 6th. So I guess that's the height.
Yeah.
So some spring hikes over to Lewis River, probably you don't need to fork out $2. Second, I, again, just want to state how much I love Northwest naming of things. Starvation Falls. Oh my God. I just always think of like the explorers that like, we're just like, this is where we all starved.
Yeah.
And we're look at this beautiful fall. Starvation Falls it is.
That's the story. Some people got stranded there in a snowstorm in a train, I believe.
Oh my God.
And so they named it Starvation Falls. But there's actually like 4 different waterfalls that you can go to there. And they all have funny names.
There's like Thirsty Falls, Missing My Mom Falls, Should Have Never Come to the West Falls.
Thirsty Falls is a good name. I don't think that's taken either, honestly.
Okay, what are some under-the-radar spots that are still relatively easy to get to?
The Coast Range has a lot of good under-the-radar options. A little bit further south into the Coast Range, like just before Mount Hebo, is a pair of waterfalls called Niagara and Pheasant. And those are really beautiful, a nice short hike that you could do with kids or if you just wanted like some easy movement. Kilchis Falls in the upper...
Wait, hold on. Before we go to the next one, we have a Niagara Falls in Oregon?
I don't know why we have so many names that we had to borrow from something else. Listen, Claudia, it looks nothing like Niagara Falls. Like, I don't know why we're doing that.
Oh, I imagine so. Like, never heard. But by the way, have you seen the more majestic Niagara Falls over here in Oregon? I've never heard that. So,
no.
Sorry. Niagara Falls and Pheasant Falls, and we're seeing Kilchis?
Yeah. So the Kilchis River Falls is a waterfall you can drive up to in the upper Kilchis Miami drainage. It's kind of sparse, like it actually has 2 sources that feed it, and one is like a very small spring, and then the other is more like from runoff and rainwater and stuff. So if you go up there after it's been raining a bunch, it's pretty impressive. It looks like it belongs in the gorge. It's like that kind of a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like some of the best under the radar stuff, again, after it's been raining, like after a nice atmospheric river, just driving around in any of the river canyons in the Coast Range is super fun. The Nehalem has tons of seasonal side waterfalls. Also the North Fork Trask and the Wilson. So just kind of like drive around and looking for stuff in an area you know has a lot of water and side creeks can be worthwhile.
I just want you to know that I was just sent a photo of the Oregon Niagara Falls, and it could just be the perspective, but it sure as heck just looks like someone out of reach is throwing a bucket of water down to a mud hole. So... Yeah,
wow.
We should all go check out the Niagara Falls here in Oregon. I'm sure it's perspective. I'm sure once I go there, it's going to be huge.
It's the comparison that's ruining it.
No, it's true. It's true. No, I realize now that this mud hole is actually a stream. I'm sure it's beautiful. It's just kind of funny. Okay, well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, going off trail to find secret waterfalls. I feel like you're usually really careful about telling people to try risky things, but we do have more than a few hidden waterfalls that need some off-trail hiking, and you're all for it. So that's confusing because one, like that's goes against all that you've told me about, you know, hiking out here, but also isn't that just bad for the environment? Like, shouldn't we be sticking to the rivers and the lakes that we're used to because of erosion? Gotcha.
Theoretically, that could be a problem. Although some people hold the opinion that if we make user trails to these waterfalls, it sort of like forces the land manager's hand to eventually develop it into a proper trail. But that being said, there are literally thousands of off-trail waterfalls in Oregon. There are probably a thousand in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest alone.
Oh my God.
And there are, there are not very many people visiting these waterfalls. There is like a pretty robust off-trail hiking, waterfall hunting community in the Portland area, but it's still like, it's small enough that most everybody knows everybody else. So I was just speaking with a friend of mine who is a local waterfall expert, and he was telling me that him and his partner have visited over a dozen waterfalls off trail on Mount Hood that are more than 100 feet tall. And that's not an area like especially known for waterfalls, even though they obviously exist in the Mount Hood National Forest.
That's so cool.
There's a lot to see out there, and the odds of you even running into another person, much less like finding evidence of other people having visited there, is pretty slim. But if something was getting to the point where it was like getting kind of packed down, I probably wouldn't go there anymore. I would be like, okay, this one's not for me.
Mm-hmm. What kind of trouble would people get into, though, if they were for some reason caught by like a state?
No, it's not against the rules or anything.
I was going to say state trooper.
State trooper, no, no. Yeah, that's a common misconception.
What if the FBI came?
People hear, like, don't hike off trail. What they mean is don't hike off of developed trail networks to, like, do your own thing. The state of Oregon is 51% public land, and only a tiny fraction of that is developed for recreational use. So off-trail hiking is definitely allowed. While they don't encourage it, they also don't discourage it either, especially okay. if you are experienced and know what you're doing.
Cool. Because sometimes there's signs and they're just like, don't even think about it, buddy. And I always wonder if like you do think about it, if it means like a fine or something. So you're saying we're good, Norther?
You know, again, it's like context is important, right?
Yeah.
But something like the National Forest, like an undeveloped area in the National Forest, is totally fair game.
Ah, this is really good info. The reason I ask all this, Norther, is because when I went to Crater Lake a handful of years ago, we drove there, and on the way up, we're just like, let's hit the southern Oregon coast. So we had to drive, you know, a little further down to go back up. And we came across one of the most beautiful falls ever. And the only way to get to it was you had to crawl underneath a chain link fence that was clearly put there by, like, you know, people. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I took a picture and someone on the Instagram was just like, it's people like you. You know what I mean? Like ruining wildlife for everyone. And I was like, oh no, did I? Because I didn't know. I just thought like,
everyone else is doing it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And also not only that it was like ruining things, but also like, oh, it's doing it for your safety, but it's okay if you go. But when she said that, I was like, oh, is this illegal? Am I going to like go to jail? Should I take this off? Like, I don't want to get arrested.
Yeah. If it's to the point where they put up a fence or a sign, like I don't do that. What is a fall that people do that at a lot? Panther Creek Falls. Oh my God, don't even go to Panther Creek anymore, you guys. It's just been battered to pieces by influencers trying to all take the exact same picture at the base of the falls.
Oh my God, I hate that. Yeah.
Just leave Panther Creek alone. It deserves a break. Another example would be like Tokatee Falls on the North Umpqua. Mm-hmm. There is a platform. It is a viewing platform. It is absolutely sufficient for you to view the waterfall from. And people still like crawl through like a hole in the fence and they scramble down to the base of the falls.
That's where I did it.
Is it?
That was me.
Yeah. Don't do that, dude.
I know. Well, see, I'm just saying, I didn't know because like there was literally like a rope.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just like a hole. Like there was an industrial size rope with knots that you could walk down. And there was someone being like holding the thing up.
It's all about context, right? Because there's another waterfall that you can visit where the access is like that, where there's literally a hand line and you lower yourself down into the canyon. And that is like the standard route.
Okay.
So, you know, but I wouldn't even like when we're talking about an off-trail waterfall, we're talking about something with like no access. Like you bushwhack up a canyon, you drop like down you know, a super steep hillside and you get down into the bowl where the waterfall is and then you, you know, hang out, take pictures, enjoy the mist bath, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if someone was going to do this off trail, where would you recommend they start? I mean, obviously hiring you because this is what you do.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, like, if somebody wanted to, you know, maybe not get lost or arrested, you say they can't get, but I still think people are going to get arrested. Where should they start?
So here's the thing. If you are like really interested in off-trail hiking, there are two things that you need. First thing is like you need really robust navigation and route finding skills. Those are not the same thing. Oftentimes people think like, oh, I'll learn how to use a map and compass and then I know how to navigate. That's a navigation tool. That's not a navigation system. It's not a navigation plan. So, you know, having some skills, like some maybe basic rock climbing skills would be really great. And then you would obviously always want to go with other people. You want to learn from people who know what they're doing. It's not the kind of thing that you do by yourself, and it's not the kind of thing that you teach yourself necessarily either. But the main thing that you need to be competent at something like this is you need to have a really robust problem-solving strategy. Like, you are ready for this activity if you know exactly what to do in absolutely every possible scenario that could go wrong. Like, do you know what to do if you break your pelvis in a canyon?
Ooh.
If the answer is no, you can come take my problem solving class from me and we can talk about that. But that is more important than any piece of gear that you could own, than like, you know, any little hard skills technique that you could pick up. Like, knowing what to do in all situations and knowing how to confidently problem solve your way out of a situation is the essential wilderness safety skill across all types of adventure sports.
Okay, I'm already super intimidated because I'm like, if I break my pelvis, I just live there. Like, I am now the gnome who lives in that fucking waterfall. And eventually I'll call you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's a good region to catch the most hidden waterfalls?
So a great introduction, if you just kind of want to like dip your toe in and see what it's like, would be to check out the Northwest Waterfall Survey website, which catalogs all of the known waterfalls in the Pacific Northwest. A great guidebook to pick up would be Curious Gorge by Scott Cook, which they sell like literally everywhere, New Seasons or whatever. He has a lot of entries in the Gifford Pinchot, which is where a lot of people get started in waterfall hunting, both on trail and off. You would also want to make sure that you have like a really good collection of maps, both like physical maps, paper maps, as well as making sure that you have like multiple GPS layers saved in your GPS app, all of that kind of thing.
I have never heard of the term waterfall hunters. So you're telling me that people chase waterfalls as a hobby, even after all of the advocacy that TLC has done?
Yes, I would say that there, you would be surprised how many people are like super into this. It's kind of like a crossover with like people who are into landscape photography. There are many people who just photograph like waterfalls. You know, that's a whole separate kind of little hobby.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, finally, our producer, John, said that you specifically asked to talk about a book of waterfalls that are great for kissing your partner.
Look,
but so, what even is this, Norther?
I have a collection. Obviously, I do. I have a collection of vintage hiking guides. I will buy any hiking guide I find that I don't already own. And this one is one of my favorites. It's called Romance of Waterfalls. I got it for $3 and it's signed by the author inside. And it features, I'm going to read you the cover. It features 100 illustrated waterfalls. So these are like drawings and little watercolor paintings that this couple who wrote the book made.
Oh.
A poem for every waterfall, a day trip planner, which is actually, is like a quite a nice little organized chart that they have inside, times and distances, accessibility, which is honestly unheard of for a hiking guide published in this era, to have like accessibility information in there is pretty impressive. And then Nature Guide and Picnicking from Outdoor Romance Publishing in Portland, Oregon.
Oh my God, it's a local. Okay.
Look how cute that is.
It is really cute. I need one poem. Is there a poem from Niagara Falls or Starvation Falls?
So you're going to make me look one up. I was going to pick one at random and let the universe choose.
Well, I'm just curious. I want to see how sexy Niagara or Starvation Falls really is. I imagine so much.
I'm looking. Can we make a waterfall called Starvation Sexy? I don't know. We're going to find out. I didn't know I was going to be called on to read a poem today. I forgot about the poems.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, no, wait, here it is. Here's the poem. Are we ready?
Okay, which one is this, Niagara or Starvation?
This is Starvation Creek Falls.
Okay, go.
Hundreds of people stop each day to use the restroom on their way, yet only a few follow the sign to Starvation Creek Falls hidden behind. Capricious and shy, this giant waterfall, concealed behind its sheltering wall. It clings to the cliff, a watery sheet, rewards a safari of 100 feet. Oh my God. That was amazing. It is, in fact, directly behind a restroom.
Oh, hot.
Yeah, right outside of the parking lot.
Oh my God. Well, Norther, this was amazing. This was way better than I could have ever imagined. So thank you for taking the time to hang out with us and tell us once again how to not get lost outside.
Thanks, Claudia. It was fun.
And now for your microdose of news. Willamette Week reported that the regional planning agency, Metro, is expanding its housing division to include 44 employees. Metro is preparing to retrieve hundreds of millions of unspent homeless tax dollars from Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah counties to produce affordable housing, a move that would require voter approval. And Oregon's richest man, Nike co-founder Phil Knight, gave another $2 million to a political action committee that tries to elect Republicans to the state house. It's the largest sum any political action committee has received this year. The next closest was a $500,000 donation from the Oregon Zoo Foundation to a committee supporting a bond for the zoo. Beginning in 2027, House Bill 4024 will cap individual campaign contributions to $3,300 per election or $6,600 to a candidate who runs in both the primary and general elections. Also, the cherry blossom trees on the Tahlmacall waterfront are in peak bloom. If you haven't had a chance to go check that out, you really should before the rains return. For even more local news and events, sign up for our daily newsletter, Hey Portland. We'll throw a link in the show notes. Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.